You'll turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, 10 through 20. That'll be our passage this morning. So it's Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 10. And before we read God's word, let us go before His throne of grace. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our hearts and minds to Your revelation, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious and matchless name. Amen. Well, listen carefully. This is God's holy, inspired word. Now, there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. So say that you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life will be spared for your sake. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? So that I took her for my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. I think it's safe to say that we love heroes. We love movies about heroes, and we love songs about heroes. And so I found this list of songs about heroes, and you'll recognize some of these. Heroes and Villains by the Beach Boys. We Don't Need Heroes by Tina Turner. My Hero by the Foo Fighters. Jukebox Hero by Foreigner. The World Needs a Hero by Megadeth. Heroes by David Bowie. Hero by Chad Kroeger and Josie Scott. Heroes and Friends by Randy Travis. One of my favorite artists here. Superman song. It's not technically, it doesn't have heroes in the words, but it's about Superman. He's a hero. By the Crash Test Dummies. I know your favorite too. And Lexi's favorite, Hero by Skillet. In the movie, of course, it would be William Wallace in Braveheart, I think. Even more than Superman. And when we come to a passage like Genesis 12, we are tempted to think that Abram fits into this hero mode. But you can't hold on to that long when you come to a passage like this. If you were paying attention as I read it, if you know the story, Abram does not come out looking like a hero in this passage, does he? He comes out looking like a weak, lying man. There's some interesting debate and discussion about whether that's actually what he does. But we like biblical heroes. We like David, don't we? We like Elijah when he calls down fire from heaven. That's not what this story is about. It's about a man trying to follow God that falters. Abram was a man who followed God radically and sacrificially. There seems to be almost a conflict. He's the guy who God says, go, I'm going to send you to a place I'll tell you about later, and he takes off. Abram's the guy who, when God says, sacrifice your own son on the altar, is willing to do it. And yet here, he's a negative example. Verse 11 tells us that he is heading to the Negev, that is, towards Egypt, because there was a famine in the land. Now, when we're reading this, and we think, when there's this description of the famine in the land, we think, well, that's an unusual sort of thing. In Abram's day, before the era of modern irrigation, however, that was like saying there's going to be a sunny day in Wyoming. They were happening all the time. There's some debate about whether Abram is sinning by going to Egypt. Well, because God told him to go one place. I'm not inclined to agree with that assessment. He's trying to preserve his family. There's no food, and who of you wouldn't leave a place if there was no food to a place where there was food? I'm not sure that he's sinning there. I don't think he's abandoning his call, though you could read it that way. But as we dig into this passage, if he did sin by going there, it was the least of his problems. It just gets darker and darker. Here we see Abram, the consummate planner. As they were on their way to Egypt, Abram has this bright idea and has the stupidity to share it with Sarai. And do you notice how he starts it? By flattery. His proposal is started by flattery. He says to his wife, you know, you're the most beautiful woman in the whole world. And because of that, I've got this great idea. We're going to go to Egypt. And when we're there, just say you're my sister. Men, this is not a model for you. Abram is not modeling godly behavior with this. Now, why would he do this? Did he sin in doing this? I think so. And you say, well, what do you mean you think so? He obviously did. Well, here's the deal. It's a complex moral issue. Did Pharaoh have the right to know who he was or who she was? And that's where the complication becomes. For example, if you were a Jew in World War II, would you be sinning by not telling your interrogators that you were Jewish? No, because they don't have a right to know that because their intentions are evil. Right? That's a complex moral ethical dilemma for sure. But I think Abram sins here because he goes beyond saying she's not my wife and makes something else up about it. And so what a crazy, crazy plan. I mean, we can kind of understand his motivation. When you're a new person to a community, there is danger. Even today in America, when you move to a new town, you're seen as an outsider. It's interesting as I drive people around in Uber, and they, you know, will have a conversation of where you're from. And those that have grown up here have a different attitude towards me because I didn't than those who didn't grow up. You can hear it in their voice, in their reaction. You're not quite the same if you haven't been here your whole life. So we're not foreign to that, but apparently it was more extreme because I have not had to tell anyone that Jenny's my sister. Although some people have said we look like brother and sister, so I guess it would pass if we had to do it then, so I have no plans for that. So he flatters, he shares the plan. We come to another question, though. And we've talked about, did he lie? And I would suggest that he did. It is interesting that Pharaoh seems to get the sin better than Abram when he discovers he is morally repulsed by what Abram, the man of God, did. And this happens with us as well. When Christians fall, pagans and non-believers can be shocked by our depravity. We are not always a good witness. Sometimes unbelievers come off as more loving and even more generous. This is not right, but it's nothing new. You know, this isn't ultimately a story about Abram. It's a story about what God is up to. In fact, that's always the case with Scripture. It's more about what God is up to. And we are reminded in this that God puts His people in difficult situations. Right? This was God's doing. The fact that Abram and Sarai end up in Egypt is not outside of God's sovereign plan. And He places them in that difficult situation. And He places you and I in difficult situations. He places us in a work environment with the intolerable coworker. Right. He places us in a situation where we have a scary diagnosis. He places some of us in prison for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He does not abandon. Abram will be a man after God, after this, again. And that's a reminder for us. That He is teaching Abram and Sarai, and He is teaching you, if you will be conscious of this, to absolutely and totally trust in Him. If Abram would have fully and perfectly trusted in God, he would not have needed to lie. He would not have needed to make up a story. And isn't that the times when we need to make up stories is when we're not trusting in God? Truth-telling is wildly out of favor today. But it is God's call for each one of us. And He uses difficult situations to form us into people that will trust Him enough, not only to tell the truth, but to follow Him wherever He calls us to do whatever He calls us to do. But it's deeper than that. This passage is teaching us that God will accomplish His plan despite the weakness of Abram, that God will accomplish his plan despite your weakness. He's going to have his way one way or another. And it can be with us in obedient following, or it will be through us and even our disobedience. The whole story of Abram is a revelation of the grace and the power of God. There is no good reason we are reading about him other than God's working in him, and that is sheer grace and love. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it here. The story of Abram this morning is about a guy who has been supremely blessed by a relationship with God, and yet he seems to have forgotten that God is God and he is not. He plots and plans not according to the call of God, but as if God were on a vacation. When we decide that we can get this done on our own, life becomes absolute slavery, doesn't it? This is why we suffer with anxiety. We think that it all comes down to us, when it actually all comes down to the faithfulness of God. And what we discover in Scripture, and what you would discover in life, is that God is absolutely faithful. There is no reason to be anxious. And we are commanded to cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. This is a story, a passage, a history of a plan of God, not Abram. Abram is not writing this story. God is writing this story. And we are not writing our own story. God is writing the story. And politicians aren't shaping history. God is shaping history, and he uses them to do it. Sarai here is a pivotal figure. Abram prospers really because of her, doesn't he? And he said he has all these goods while he's in Egypt. Pharaoh suffers because of her. She is the catalyst for good and evil. Note also that even one who is not a child of Abram and stands outside the covenant family is held accountable for crimes perpetuated unwillingly and must face the appropriate punishment. Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh doesn't know he's exactly doing wrong, or he doesn't know the wrong that he's doing anyways. But he is going to face the appropriate punishment from God. And the question that Pharaoh addresses to Abram shows that he too sees adultery as an evil sin. He's alarmed by that. In fact, he shows more moral sensitivity than Abram does. I am so thankful that Abram's failure is recorded. The Bible would be almost intolerable to us if human failure was not recorded. If all we had was Abram being willing to sacrifice his son, Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, and parting the Red Sea, and Peter walking on water without a report that he sunk, and Paul without the statement that he struggles with the good that he wants to do, then it wouldn't be a book for you, would it? It wouldn't be a book that describes the nature of humanity and the splendid majesty of God's grace and love. Because we wouldn't understand the splendid mercy and grace of God if we didn't understand our depravity and our frailness. God's revelation is a beautiful tapestry of love given to us that is honest. As James Boyce put it, the problem for Abram wasn't that danger surrounded him. He knew this. Like Peter, who faltered when walking on the water, the problem is he took his eyes off God and began to look only at the circumstances. Isn't that what you've struggled with this week? Isn't that what every one of us has struggled with this week? We start to look at a problem in front of us as if we had to conquer it on our own. Now, the last time that we heard about Abram, he was worshiping God in Bethel, and then not again until he returns. Trust God, and you will find yourself wanting to worship Him more and more. But instead, Abram and we begin to discount the wisdom of God found in the Word of God, and instead we begin to substitute a wisdom and confidence of our own. And not only is that unnecessary, brothers and sisters, it's unfaithful. There is a false confidence that we can do things without God. There are two chief ways, in closing here, there are two chief ways to avoid this. And the first, as we've kind of intimated already, is look at the frailness and the weakness of the saints of God. Look at David and his mighty men, and then look at David and Bathsheba. Look at Adam and Eve given everything that they need, and look at them doing the ridiculous job of sowing fig leaves. Look at the people at the Tower of Babel trying to reach God, but not really, trying to make a name for themselves, and God has to come down to meet with them because they have failed in their attempt to get to God on their own power. And then look at your own life and all of your failed attempts and your wicked sinfulness and your frailty. And you'll understand that you can't trust in yourself. You need to trust in God. That's number one. See the frailty of your own soul. See the frailty of all the saints. And recognize that God's revelation of redemption speaks into the world knowing that that is our state and He still pursues us. But then number two, and this is the primary one, don't spend all your days looking at the weakness of the saints. That won't at the end of the day be a great inspiration. It will be a sobriety check for you, but it won't be a great inspiration. But primarily seek God and not others for inspiration. The only hero in the Bible is Jesus Christ. It's not David. It's not Paul. It's not Peter. It's not Abram. It's only Jesus Christ. All of this is pointing to our need for and the faithfulness of the only Son of God. All of this is the gospel in the Old Testament. It has always been the case that men and women needed grace since the fall. So we need to seek God and not others. I mean, look, if you have your eyes open and you've been seeking inspiration in others, you've been disappointed. If you have your eyes open. It especially seems like that in the last few years, where public figure after public figure, church leader after church leader after church leader, we've discovered that they have not been perfectly sanctified yet. So may we seek God in His kingdom, in His righteousness. May we trust in Him to accomplish that which He desires in and through us. May we do this all to the glory and adoration of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.